Hey, it's Chaz and AJ.
Hello.
Thank you for listening to our podcast.
Thank you.
We hope you enjoy it. And please subscribe, comment, share, do all those things that make us look good.
And be nice.
Thank you. A Canadian woman found a naked man inside the trunk of her car, and apparently he had been living there for 3 days.
What?
That's a long time.
What?
Not one, not two, but three.
3 days.
So apparently she, the first TikTok was she saw a bunch of mud all over the, in her back seat. And she made a little video of this.
Oh my
gosh. She's cleaning it.
Yeah.
Okay.
Doing a very good job.
Right.
And she says, you know, the only way this could have happened is some homeless guy like slept in my car. So that was a video. Uh-huh. And then the next video was there's like someone in her trunk.
Oh my God.
I mean, that's scary.
That
I
wonder another new fear unlocked. Yeah. Another new fear. That's crazy.
It's amazing you keep coming back, honestly. Just giving you things to fear.
I'm just learning so much about the world.
It'd be weird if she's driving down the road and she's sneezing in here.
Right?
Wait, what?
Oh my gosh. And naked.
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 Why?
Why? Mm.
You know, if you're living in a trunk, wouldn't you have everything there? Like,
right. Where's your car? Where's your stuff?
Where's your clothes? Where's your stuff?
Well, it's going to run out of oxygen pretty quickly, I would think.
Yeah. Oh my. I can't.
Here is the moment that the woman discovered he was in the trunk.
Why are you in my trunk and are you naked?
Yeah.
What?
It's a rite of passage.
To be. How did you get in there?
I'm the son of the Pope.
But I got my dad.
Hold it.
What?
He's the son of the Pope.
Why was she so calm?
Now, that would be a headline.
Right?
Like,
I didn't know.
Wow. First of all,
children.
They can't.
Man, if you're the son of the Pope, this is a big story.
I'm the son of the Pope.
She was calm.
Now, when you say Pope, you mean the one in the Vatican? Or is there another Pope I don't know about?
Big Daddy. That's frightening. Yeah.
Also, rite of passage. For what?
Mm. For what? Right. What a weird answer.
Where do you get the pass into once you... Yeah, you got to do the naked in the trunk thing. Be
right?
On TikTok.
Horrible.
And then you get the...
Congratulations. Now you can run for Congress.
Phasing. Horrible.
Go ahead.
I'm the son of the Pope.
When I put my pants on,
we appreciate that.
Yeah, we really
What's that,
appreciate
the cops?
That.
Yeah. Say, can I put my pants on? I
mean, yeah, pants.
Why did you take them off?
He's the son of the Pope, Ashley.
I don't think that matters.
It's a rite of passage.
Mm. Those pants are the...
I don't understand.
What kind of... This pant... I don't think the Pope wears pants.
No, he wears
my pants.
No.
Robe.
A big robey-dobe.
It's a robe.
Robey-dobe. Yeah.
He's got the big white robe.
Yeah.
He's got the red shoes.
He lets it ride.
Does
the red
have...
shoes?
I don't know about.
He's got red shoes.
Hmm.
Red shoes.
Pope.
Pope
wardrobe?
Red yeah, no. Google Pope red shoes.
Pope red.
Pope wardrobe?
I was going to say costume, but I thought that would
maybe
be.
Maybe Pope robe.
Oh, wow. He does have red shoes.
Thank you.
Or he did. Who is this?
Oh, wait a minute.
Who's the next one?
His son took him.
We don't know the next one.
Seen in a trunk of a car.
I mean,
how can we know who the next one is? This one hasn't died yet.
The current one. Because this is the old one. So then what's the next one, which is also the present one?
I don't even know what you're talking about.
Imagine walking into the Pope's closet. It's like all white.
Right.
Everything's white.
White and gold. He wears a lot of gold.
Right.
Mine's all black.
Then he's got the Super Bowl hat. Then he's got the big giant hat. The big giant tall Pope hat.
Big chef hat, yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah, it's like a chef's hat.
It's a big chef's hat. Big ratatouille hat.
Can you smell what the Pope is cooking?
It's a rite of passage.
He could actually blend in a kitchen. He could walk in a kitchen.
Yeah.
Yeah.
You wouldn't even know it's the Pope.
Right.
Oh my God.
It's like, hey, grab the green beans. Come on, let's go.
Did we just make a TV show?
Keep moving.
The only thing that would give it away is he's blessing everything before he chops it up.
My child.
That would be interesting. Call it potpourri.
Yeah, that could be a
I'm the son of the Pope.
The red is very intentional and very symbolic.
Yeah, it means something. Yes.
Yes.
What is it?
Well, it's chosen to represent the blood of Catholic martyrs.
Ooh.
Yep. Symbolizes the submission of the Pope to the ultimate authority of Jesus Christ.
So is this the next Pope, the old Pope? the current pope, the one before this one? Which pope are we talking about?
I know
actually?
The past pope wore the red shoes, but I don't know if the current pope, which is also the next pope, also wears the red shoes.
Do you think those guys, when they're looking for a pope, they approach you and say, hey, you're going to be the pope? And you think, because they got to give you a heads up, right? Can't be like, oh, my God, I can't, like the Oscars.
I
want to thank
this.
All my, whatever these other guys are.
Right.
I think them all,
Yeah, Cardinals.
They got to warn
those guys.
They got to warn them.
Got to warn them, right? Yeah. And you think anyone ever turns it down? Like, nah, it seems like a lot of work.
One guy did. He sort of quit, remember?
It was a very short term. So, yeah, John Paul served for like 50 years or whatever, and then this guy came in and was like 18 months. He was like, yes, this whole Pope thing.
This isn't for me.
Not for me.
Not for me. Yeah.
I'm not
because they're like, well, now you got to do this. Well, I don't want to do that. Now you got to go out on this balcony and like move your hand around. Well, I don't want to do that. Nah,
I want to say
the Pope comes responsibility.
Right.
It's like Spider-Man.
There we go.
That would be the greatest. It's the Pope
as Spider-Man. That's hilarious. Just climbing a building, blessing the building.
He could keep the red shoes. It works for him.
Yeah.
That's true. It matches the outfit. Yes.
Oh, it's funny.
Yeah. So, this guy, son of the Pope.
Son of the Pope. Rite of passage.
Naked in a trunk.
That's nuts.
Wow. His dad is...
The Pope.
Living in the Vatican, and he's naked in a trunk.
Folded up like a pretzel.
Don't talk about pretzels.
Well, how else can you fit in a trunk?
I do like the way he says, I'm the son of the Pope.
I'm the son of the Pope.
Yeah, it's almost a little like musical.
Yeah.
They do that in church. I'm the son of the Pope. It's really weird when they're doing this and they're talking, but they're like singing, but not singing, and they're talking.
I could use a cookie.
Why are you doing that? You're freaking me out.
Let us proclaim.
Are you singing? Are you talking? Can you pick one, please? Because it's weirding me out.
You do that really well.
Yeah, you really do.
When I would have friends over for dinner, my dad would insist everyone had talk like that at the dinner table.
Really?
This is how we do it in the Antonelli. If you want us to pass you food, you must sing.
That's hilarious.
Can you please pass the pasta? I'm sorry, I cannot understand you.
Please pass the pasta because I am hungry.
That's when 13-year-old me goes, I hate this family.
This couple bought a couch. And I don't know what this means when you say an environmentally friendly couch. Don't know what that means.
What does that mean?
I don't know what that means.
It's made out of plant?
Hemp?
Dirt?
Oh, hemp, maybe.
Their dog destroyed their couch, so they bought this secondhand, environmentally friendly sofa.
Okay.
Everything seemed fine. Until a week later when the TV remote went missing beneath the couch cushions. Per a Facebook post, this girl's boyfriend reached down the side of the recycled recliner.
Oh, God.
And extracted
no.
a revolting wad of candy wrappers and fingernails.
Oh, man.
I don't know about you, but I don't like this couch anymore.
Why wouldn't you check that?
That's
check.
Frightening.
Why wouldn't you vacuum it out before it goes in the house?
Or check it. Lift up the cushions.
I'm going to IKEA.
Why wouldn't you stupid moron check the couch?
Forever and ever.
You're going to hell.
And that was just the tip of the iceberg.
No.
Oh, no.
And that was just the tip of the iceberg. Imagine having someone like that follow you around every time you say something. Every time you say something.
Can't.
So upon inspection. Now you finally inspected.
Right.
Too late.
A little late.
Candy wrappers and fingernails. Maybe we should take a look.
Oh, gosh.
Did they use the fingernails for sprinkles? Like, it just sounds horrible. You're eating candy, clipping your nails at the same time. What are you doing?
They retrieved not hundreds, but thousands of fingernails.
Oh, stop.
Thousands?
Of varying sizes.
What?
There were toenails mixed in as well. I think I'm going to be sick to my stomach.
How many hours did these people sit on the couch just clipping their nails?
Right!
Do that in the bathroom!
Is this a couch at a spa? What's going on?
Ah!
Oh, man.
Oh, my God. I literally think I'm going to throw up.
That's frightening.
Photos show a ton of snack wrappers, hair, and nail clippings. Various degrees of yellow.
Oh, my God.
That's a lot.
She wrote, I don't.
Trying to, like. But
I believe someone's about to get sick.
I'm trying to put other flavors in my mouth to, like, distract. Like, what else can I put in my mouth here?
Pass me the Pepto.
That's a sound clip.
Quote, I don't know the rate of nail growth this person has, but they must have been some kind of growth on growth supplements or had about 10 extra hands or feet. It was revolting enough.
Maybe that was the family nail clipping couch. They just one at a time, they sat down for their nail clip.
Are you clipping or are you pulling? You know how you, like.
Oh, you mean like biting and ripping and spitting out?
Yes, ripping.
I think it's all of the above, honestly.
That sounds about as gross as it gets. She said the worst part. Oh, wait, there's more.
Oh, God.
She said the worst was vacuuming up the discarded nails. It sounded like sucking up uncooked rice.
No.
No.
Can you get your money back?
What's going on?
They should try.
This is why it's very difficult to buy a mattress, a couch, anything that's like upholstered. You don't know what's living inside there.
Oh, man.
I did pick up a chair from the curb once and just carry it home. Now I'm going to go look at that again when I get home.
Please
from
look
the curb.
At it.
From the curb in East Haven. I just saw it. I was like, oh, cute.
Okay.
I'll take it.
Picked it up, carried it all the way home.
Okay, mm-hmm. Brave.
Did you vacuum it out and clean it up?
Nope.
Are you thinking about it right now?
Yes. But it's a cute little chair. Like, it's not like a couch with cushions.
Right. Mm. Okay. I understand.
There's nothing moving in it. And if there was, it's dead by now.
Let's hope so.
That's settling.
The chair's moving itself. Hey, didn't I leave that in the corner? I remember I thought it was in the corner. It's
Eric, right did you redecorate?
Keeps moving.
Darby? Anybody?
All right, so the odd surprise you got buying something used. Everyone on gets in the running for the tickets at 9, which I can't tell you what they are yet. Cameron and Wilkett.
Good Cameron. Morning, everyone.
Good morning.
So my uncle is a huge bowler, big bowling fan. And one Christmas, I happened to be going through a thrift store, and I saw this antique leather Playboy Bunny labeled bowling ball bag. And, you know, I just thought, what a great gift. You know, he's going to love it. It's kind of funny. It'll be great. And so he opens it up at Christmas, super excited. And there's the little pocket in the front for bowling gloves. And he said, oh, did you get me a set of gloves too? I said, no. He reaches into the front pocket and he looks at me. And I can tell something's wrong. And I don't know what, because I haven't opened the pocket. Like any respectable person who shops at a thrift store, I didn't check the inside of the small pocket.
Any respectable
Why
person.
Why would you?
It's like you know us. Go ahead.
And his face is slowly twisting into this sort of disgusted grimace.
Ah.
And he pulls out a pair of very obviously used women's thongs.
Now we know what he was doing on bowling night.
Somebody got lucky.
He was bowling, all right, just not at the alley. You know.
They were obviously used. Oh, God.
Yes. You know, and, yeah, you know, just, I think is the adjective.
Okay,
that comes
all right.
To mind.
If I want to put my fingers in that bowl,
that might turn me straight. I think you turned me back. So thank you.
I do what I can.
I was gonna say, Mark, where are you?
Ann in Brantford.
Good morning, guys. How you doing?
Good, thank
you.
Ann.
So, about 1990 in Guilford, there was a consignment shop that was, from the more wealthier people than I was. So I would shop in there, and leather pants were in at the time. So I found these pink leather pants, size 4. My ass looked awesome in them.
Woo!
Going out Friday.
Okay, girl.
Going out that Friday night, got the outfit all picked out. I put on the leather pants. There's $125 in the pants pocket.
Nice.
Yeah!
That's what I like to hear.
Let me tell you, that was a great night. We got so wasted, me and my friend.
She turned it around.
Funny story.
How much were the pants?
Story. Have a good day. They were like $35. So back in the 90s, that was kind of a lot, you know?
Yeah. Oh, man.
But I looked good in them. I still have them, too. They're in my closet.
Go off.
Can you fit in them?
No, I can't.
Yeah, that's all right.
I know that feeling.
Story of my life.
I have a whole section of my closet. I'm like, I'll be
Same.
Back.
Yeah.
I'm coming back to you.
Yeah, some things you just can't get rid of. Like, I have these old Levi's that were all torn and, like, you know, it's like a Bruce Springsteen kind of Levi's. I am not throwing that shit away.
No.
I may get into them someday.
You'll get into them.
You'll have memories of them.
Get into them.
I'm going down.
That's true.
Down,
I could be. I'm close to that now. So.
All right,
guys, have a good night. Have a good day. Bye.
Thank you. What did she say? Have a good what?
Have a good night.
She was about to say night.
She definitely said night, yeah.
Boston John.
Good morning, everyone.
Good morning.
Hello.
Hey, so I bought an Xbox one day, and it came with all these, like, controls, games, external hard drive. And I went to go play it, and I hooked up the external hard drive, and it was full of porn.
When?
What?
When?
I just got a bonus. It's... My Xbox has porn in it.
The funny thing is, too, there was a... home video of the seller and his wife.
Oh, boy.
Woo!
That's amazing.
Was it something that you'd want to see, though?
Not really.
Oh, my God.
Yeah, but you looked, didn't you?
I had to look. It's like a train wreck. You got to watch it.
How long did you watch it?
Right.
True.
Well, honestly, I went through the whole hard drive. It probably had about 20 hours of porn.
Wow.
Say, I thought I bought an Xbox, not an XXXbox.
I hope they're hydrating. That is crazy.
Oof. Well, have a good one.
All right, you're in the running. I thought I was going to play Xbox games, but now I'm watching porn.
He didn't want to answer any of our questions about the details.
But he knows them. He knows the answer.
He has notes somewhere.
No, but you know what the greatest thing is? He's watching porn, but if someone says, what are you doing? I'm on my Xbox.
I'm on my Xbox. Mind your biz.
You're not lying.
Yeah. Problem
Why
solved.
Why are you holding the controller like that, though?
I hope that is the joystick you are holding. Beefman.
Hey, guys.
Hey.
In 1981, I bought a 1971 Datsun 240Z. It was red. I thought this thing was the greatest car I've ever seen. So after a week or so, I'm driving it, and I smell gas. And then my eyes are tearing. The fumes are coming in. So I went to Uncle Pat, the mechanic, to check out the carburetor. He says, nothing wrong with your carburetor. Just go to Uncle Lou, the body man. And what happened is the frame was rusted out. The floorboard was rusted so bad that the frames are coming into the car. So this car was
you got screwed.
Unsafe and undrivable.
Yeah.
Yeah, I did.
Did you buy the car at night?
I did.
Did you see it?
No. Just remember to always have it checked out. I learned my lesson. So.
Yeah.
Oh, man.
Oh, yeah. I had that happen to me.
Yep. Really?
Yeah, I don't want to take up time, but the same basic thing. I got screwed hard.
Yeah.
It was a rust bucket.
Out.
Yeah, don't buy a car at night. It's my take from this. Jessica in Bristol.
Good morning.
Good morning.
Hello.
So I got a used
well, it wasn't used. It was a new area rug for my living room that I got from a friend, and it already had, it still had the wrapping on it and everything. She just chose she wasn't going to use it. I guess she went with a different decorating theme. So I just moved into a bigger apartment, and the one few times I actually listened to my mother, she says, get the rug. Rugs are expensive. Just go grab it. It's fine. So I go and get the rug, and I bring it home. I unravel it, and out comes a live mouse.
Ah, no.
And now I'm a clean freak. So I now have a diseased rodent running around in my beautiful, huge apartment, and it hid behind the fridge. And I had to go to Home Depot like three times to get traps. It never went into a fucking, excuse me, I just swore, sorry. It never went into a trap.
Wow.
And finally,
you're getting yourself worked up.
Knows,
she's still mad about
she's
it.
She's angry.
Oh my God. Like, I am. I'm like, you don't understand. Like, I had so many meltdowns. But as Phil knows, I have cats. So luckily, my cat sensed it was inside my brand new couch that I just bought less than a month ago, and somehow she got it to come out, and it started scurrying, and I took up a rolled up newspaper and I smacked it on the head.
Oh, woof.
Dead mouse.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Really? And needless to say, I'm not going to be looking for a rug at any point in the near future.
Nope. Wow.
No. I can't do it.
I don't know what
no.
I
to be fair, you don't have to be a clean freak to hate a mouse in your house.
Yeah, I was
well,
thinking
true.
That.
That's true. That's true.
Because that.
Yeah. But, you know what? Just talking about it is giving me heartfelt.
I see
oh my
that.
God,
oh,
you're
no.
cursing like a sailor.
Get a Xanax.
I can hear you're freaking out.
You're trembling.
Xanax.
Wow.
Xanax.
It was the worst. It was absolutely awful. And when I called my friend, I said, hey, there was a mouse in that rug you gave me. She was like, are you sure? What do you mean, am I sure? Yeah.
Maybe he just hitched a ride on the way here. And we're going to finish this Rock and Roll Hall of Fame argument real quick.
Uh-oh.
Nancy in New Haven.
Yes.
And now Sam from Milford's calling up with Eminem.
Okay.
What about Eminem, Sam?
Oh, God.
I mean, he's done a lot of collaborations, you know, Elton John. I mean, the list goes on, you know. He's performed with people in other genres. He's the protege of Dr. Dre, who's in the Hall of Fame under NWA. He's performed with LL Cool J, who's in the Hall of Fame. I mean, it's just, you know, it's linear. He's part of a
yeah, and the last two that you mentioned are not rock and roll friggin' Hall of Famers. Listen, I got just one thing to say.
They're in the Hall of Fame.
Guys, I love
they're
this in the Hall show. Of Fame. I love this show. I love PLR. But when you have things like this on, I just shut it off. Because this is
Fancy.
Just nonsense. They don't belong in the Rock and Roll Hall of Fame. There's nothing you could say. There's no argument you're ever going to convince me. But these idiots, like this guy, keeps putting this shit up where these people should be into the Rock and Roll Hall of Fame. No, they should not.
What's I mean, I agree with you, Nancy. I totally agree with you.
And they did.
Sam?
But, oh, my God.
Nancy,
Eminem.
Oh, I'm
you
sorry. I thought her name was Karen.
Oh, boy. Oh, he went for it.
He got a. He gets a point for that.
That was good.
Sam?
Yeah. No, I mean, not- I grew up in the 90s. I mean, you know, Eminem was huge. Even people who didn't listen to rap loved Eminem. They, you know.
Well, that's what
he definitely deserves it.
You grew up in the 90s, so you grew up with all friggin' rap. And
oh,
that
man.
Is not a Rock and Roll Hall of Fame. It's not.
Chaz and AJ didn't make
a different
the
genre,
Hall of Fame.
Not this.
Nancy, yeah. What
you're so wrong. You're so wrong. there's nothing anybody's going to say to get this through your head. They ran out of nominees. And so now they're just throwing in anybody. If you don't have nominees, then do it like the Olympics every 2 years, the winter, the summer. So you don't do it every year. But you don't just throw people in just to throw friggin' people in. It's such nonsensical. Oh, I get so aggravated. And I just gotta turn you guys off.
Mm. You're going to turn us off. And she hung up.
Oh, my gosh. What an angry elf.
I mean. Wow. I agree with her, but here we are. Like, what are we going to do? We can't control
who
gets in.
She was very angry.
All right, Sam, I like your argument for Eminem. I think if there was going to be any rapper in the Hall of Fame, it should be Eminem.
Yeah.
Agreed.
So, all right. Thank you, man. And he had a very good argument.
That was a great
well-spoken argument.
Yeah.
He did.
Yep. Not like her.
But Nancy, she had a flamethrower, and I love her spunk.
Yeah, yes. She's having a bad morning.
I had more questions for her. I want to know more about Nancy.
Yeah.
Nancy, can you call back?
It was a good debate between the two because he was polite until it was his turn. She wouldn't want to wait for her turn. So he'd say something. Oh, my God.
Mattitude.
Hey, good morning, guys. How's AJ doing?
Good. Good. He'll be back this week, hopefully.
God bless him. The whole Rock and Roll Hall of Fame thing, they say that they're running out of people to induct in there. In my book, why isn't Alice in Chains, Godsmack, Soundgarden, why aren't they nominated? Iron Maiden, Motorhead, of course, Lemmy is God. You know,
it's Nirvana's just, in, no?
I think they have to be.
I don't think Motorhead is in there.
Foo Fighters are in.
Yes.
Foo Fighters are in, but Green Day is in there.
Nirvana's in.
Nirvana's in.
Yeah. 2014.
Pearl Jam's in? We're checking. Yeah, you're right. You know,
but
Devo.
Why isn't Alice in Chains in there?
Lionel Richie? Lionel Richie?
Where's Lionel Richie?
Hello.
It does look like Pearl Jam is in there.
All right. Thank you, Mattitude.
And then me.
All right. Take care. Have a great day.
You too. Is that Nancy? Is she coming back?
Oh, Nance.
No. Nancy's not coming back. Are you on the phone with her?
Oh, man.
Put your mic on so we can hear your side.
Please, please, can we talk to you on the air again? We want to talk to you again.
You're making a good argument for the Rock Hall.
Go ahead. Okay. Chaz wants to talk to you. I'll put you on hold. Yes. Put you right on the air. Hold on, Nancy.
Nancy, you hung up.
Chaz, because I don't get you. I don't get you. You're like, when I hung up, you're like, that other guy had a great argument to put Eminem in. And I'm thinking to myself, what is he thinking? So tell me, what are you thinking?
I'm just me.
That's your answer?
Yeah.
It's a good one.
That's your answer. You're just you.
Hmm.
Oh, my God. I'd have better results with AJ. Seriously.
You know what's funny? That's an insult to both of us at the same time. That was really good.
Point, Nancy.
That was very good.
Nancy, you're spunky.
I understand how AJ gets so pissed off with you guys every morning. Because, like, I don't even understand you people. Like, you're a different world. This guy is talking nonsense about Eminem and Duran Duran.
What year?
Like, are you freaking
what years were you listening to music, and what was your first concert?
My first concert, I believe, was at the New Haven Coliseum. I think it was Queen, but I could be wrong. But I've always listened to you guys.
How do you not know your first concert?
Mine was
you guys are the last rock and roll, because my parents wouldn't let me go to anything.
Mine
I was
cool
a girl.
In the gang.
How do you not remember? How do you not remember your first concert?
How dare you?
Listen. I'm not. This is neither here nor there. I'm just telling you. I've listened to you guys nonstop, and not really a call in person until this shit came along, but. Because I don't understand you. Lassie is great. Everybody at Lappy is great. Everybody is great. But this nonsense about this Rock and Roll Hall of Fame stuff, you can't really have a great argument accepting Eminem into the Rock and Roll Hall of Fame. I don't care who he did, whatever work with whoever, he's still a rap artist, and that is not rock and roll.
Hold on. Hello?
How you doing, man?
Hey, you're on with Nancy.
Yeah, no, I was just trying to see. I had a conversation going on with. I heard the conversation going on with Rock and Roll Hall of Fame, and I recently went there and I saw that Led Zeppelin wasn't a part of it, so I wanted to see if they could confirm or deny that.
Oh, is Led Zeppelin in the Rock Hall of Fame? If they're not, you have to just burn that building down.
Yes.
I mean, it's.
I agree.
It's, we're checking now.
And if they put M&M in, you need to burn the building down as well.
I think they're in as of 1995.
Wow, how late.
Oh, well, yeah.
Yeah.
So, wait a minute. So, you know, instead of arguing about who they're putting in, you have to really start arguing about who the people are in charge of this nonsense.
Mm.
Because,
Nancy, you ever tire yourself out yelling?
Nah, sometimes.
All right, Nancy, I'm glad you called back.
Thanks, Nancy.
Thanks, Nancy.
And thank you, caller, with the Led Zeppelin deal. That's a good call. Wow. It took till 1995 to put Zeppelin. What is going on over there?
We should talk to them.
Who, the Rock Hall of Fame?
Yeah, and then yell at them for their methodology.
No, we put Nancy on the phone with them.
Right.
Yeah.
Them out.
You're right.
Carl Palmer.
Very good morning to you.
Good morning to you. Carl Palmer, founding member of Emerson, Lake & Palmer and Asia Anatomic Rooster, coming to the Ridgefield Playhouse.
Yes, in Connecticut. You missed out one band, The Crazy World of Arthur Brown. 1968, we had a number one single with a track called Fire.
Fire! Da-na-na. I need you to burn.
You missed it out. Why did you miss that out? Oh, come on.
Oh, let me tell you why. Yeah, because you didn't drum on the studio version, but then you toured with the band.
Oh, no,
but that might not be true.
Really?
In actual fact, there were several recordings made. It's a great story, that, because on the tape boxes, nobody ever knew who was on what track. There were three drummers on that album, believe it or not. So I have no idea if I played on it, because the mix was so psychedelic or so psychedelia in its sound, as you guys would say.
Yeah, it's
I have
funny.
No idea. But I joined the band, and I played all the concerts, and you know, I got paid, so it was good.
That you lost Arthur Brown on Long Island, right?
Yeah, he disappeared to a commune, but interesting story there. Whilst that happened, last in 2019, just before the pandemic began, I brought Arthur out with me to sing with my band on that Royal Affair tour, where we had Yes, Asia, Carl Palmer's ELP Legacy, and John Lodge. And Arthur sang a couple of tracks, Fire being one of them, Knife Edge being another, with my group. And he's still in fine fettle. He's still singing really well.
That's wild.
He's old boy.
So you're a kid, and you guys are touring The Crazy World of Arthur Brown. And you're on tour, and you go to Long Island, and then he's just gone. Just gone.
He's just gone. It was the period, you know, when all those communes and that sort of like, you know, let's all live together in this area or whatever it was. Anyway, he just disappeared one night. He was gone. We waited about a month and a half for him, and I sort of got a bit agitated. So I said to Vincent, the keyboard player, let's return to England. And he said, yeah, I'm going to come with you. I said, fine, let's go together. And off we went. And then, you know, we met up with Arthur years later. But he just got psyched out over there. It was that period. It was Haight Ashbury and, you know, all the stuff that went on.
Yeah, it's just it wasn't as focused.
So tell me, what's it like sitting in for AJ? Are you enjoying yourself?
I'm having a great time. Wow. It really is a good time.
All the stars, right? I mean, it's great, isn't it? What a great job.
This is a great job. So when right before Emerson, Lake & Palmer came together,
was it
Jimi Hendrix spoke to Keith and Greg about maybe forming a band? Is that right?
Yeah, it's interesting that you say that. Hendrix was never involved with us at any point.
Okay.
He never showed up at any rehearsal. He was never spoken to. That was just some journalist who had the bright idea that if Hendrix was to join, the band would be called Help. But I never saw Hendrix. I never played with him. He was not at a rehearsal. It was just a fallacy, a complete fallacy.
Really? And, you know, everywhere you look on the internet, that's there. So that journalist, whatever he or she did, it stuck.
He's laughing every day about it.
Yeah.
That's what happens. Listen, I had a journalist come to a concert, review a concert, and when I read what they had written, they hadn't even been at the concert. They got the wrong set list from the year before. And they were talking about tracks we didn't play that night. Yes. So I don't always listen to journalists. You have to be very careful.
No, I don't blame you. I got to tell you, you're one of the world's greatest rock drummers. And can you imagine you playing with Jimi Hendrix? That would have been something.
I'll be honest with you. Mitch Mitchell was the very first drummer they tried with Emerson, Lake & Palmer. That's the only connection to the experience, the Jimi Hendrix experience that EL ever had. And I think Mitch turned up and he played for the afternoon. Something went wrong. And then Keith Emerson's manager was the chap that, or the guy that recommended me to Keith. And they got hold of me, and, you know, the rest is history. But that's the only person from the Jimi Hendrix experience that actually did turn up. Hendrix was never there, but Mitch Mitchell did play for the afternoon.
There lies the confusion of the Hendrix.
Yeah, it could well be.
Yeah.
Possibly.
Yeah.
I don't know what the problem was with Mitch, because he was a sensational drummer.
Very good.
But it didn't work out. It didn't work out.
Yeah. But normally you don't hear someone singing over a drum solo. And I remember hearing
that. Well, you know, ELP were different. You don't normally have a keyboard being the lead instrument in a band.
Right.
It's usually guitar, you know. So we were completely different. We took classical music and we adapted it to use and play on modern contemporary instruments. So the whole thing was way out there, you know. I think that's why Emerson, Lake and Palmer stood out at the time. And it was just one of those things. We enjoyed playing that type of music. You know, we're very European sounding. And it happened to work here in America, and I'm very grateful for that.
And then Asia comes about. How does that, who calls who? How does that come together?
So Asia was already formed between Steve Howe and John Wetton. They had already got together. And the manager of Yes.
Steve Howe from Yes. Now,
yes, the manager of Yes called Brian Lane, who was now managing Asia, which was only John Wetton and Steve Howe, as I said, they started to look for a drummer. And I think, I don't know what happened there. There was a couple of guys that came in. I think they tried Simon Phillips, and that didn't work out. I wasn't the first drummer again. I believe I was second again. And when I went up, it worked out. It sounded great. I'd known John Wetton for years. I'd known Steve Howe since I was 18, so we were big friends anyway. And we played. And the day we were playing in these studios, down the hallway was Jeff Downs and Trevor Horn. And Steve Howe said, Jeff Downs is down the hallway. Let's speak to him. He might want to join the band and play keyboards. Of course, we asked him, and that was it. And Asia was born.
It was incredible. Were you surprised by the success?
I was incredibly surprised. Look, any album that's the album of the year in 82 or one of the biggest albums of the year, you're going to be surprised, because you don't know how to quantify that success. You don't know how to manufacture it. It's to do with timing. It's to do with material. It's to do with record companies. It's to do with the release time and who gets behind it and who doesn't. So there's so many factors in there. You just never know when that's going to happen. You know,
right.
you guys are having fun. You must be well coffeeed up, are you?
Yeah, we are.
Yeah.
Carl Palmer is on.
You're flying, obviously.
You are only the second person to be nominated for a Best New Artist Grammy.
For what?
Well, you were nominated for a Grammy for Emerson, Lake and Palmer, Best New Artist, and then Asia was nominated for a Grammy, Best New Artist.
Right. I never take too much notice of those things.
David Crosby was the only first, and you were second to be nominated for two Grammys for Best New Artist.
There you go.
Yeah. You never knew that?
I wasn't aware, you know. I mean, you know, a lot of people say to me, you know, why aren't Emerson, Lake and Palmer in the Hall of Fame? Well, you know, why aren't you there with all the music that you created and the style of music that you created, which was a brand new art form? And I always say to people, I am in the Hall of Fame. I'm in the public's Hall of Fame. I'm still here today,
right.
You know, 40 years later playing and being accepted. I don't need five guys around the table in some Hall of Fame in Cleveland to tell me that I'm good or whatever. I need the public to want the music and to want what we do. So as far as I'm concerned, Emerson, Lake and Palmer is in the Hall of Fame because the public is still buying the material. I'm still touring. So that's all I need, really. That's the gratification. And that's the real deal, is what the public thinks, not what a committee thinks. I am in the Hall of Fame as far as I'm concerned.
You know what? You're absolutely right. That's a great take on it, too. Because it's the people who are buying the tickets and buying the music.
Yeah.
Those are the people who vote you in or out. Yeah.
I agree with you. I will tell you, I'll be very honest with you now. Emerson, Lake and Palmer, the three of us, always said, you know, oh, that's really great in America, the Hall of Fame, you know, but how does it come about? And then when you find out that the public don't have a say in how it's put together and how it's constructed, you think to yourself, well, how can that be? It's the public, as you've just said, buy the tickets, buy the product. You know, why don't they have a say? Because that's what it's all about. The music is for the people. It's not for a five-man committee, you know. So I'm content, you know. So yeah. It's really not a problem. But that is the real deal. Listen, it's a great organization, but it just doesn't suit me, you know. The actual ethos of it is not where I would like to be.
Did you see the list of nominees this year?
No, I didn't, to tell you the truth. But they're always quite bizarre, so... And listen, this is nothing against Joan Jett. I think she's fantastic. But I was really impressed when Joan Jett got in, and we never even had a look in. You know, I thought, well, there you go. It's because that's the way it's done. Do they do this in alphabetical order? Do they do this after they've gone to the pub? When do they do this? How does it work? I mean, it's really odd. It's just a very, very strange organization, you know. But listen, hey. What's a poll? What does it mean, really? As we've just said, it's how many people come to your concert.
That's right.
And buy your product. That's what really counts. And listen to you on the radio. That's what it's all about.
That's right. That's right. Well, Dolly Parton is among the nominees this year.
Yes, I did hear that. I did. And you know something? I really believe she deserves it. You think of all the good she's done, charities or whatever, and all the great songs she's written. And she's been going for years, you know. Listen, I might start having plastic surgery. It suited her. I might do it as well.
All right. Maybe we'll see Carl Palmer this Wednesday at Richfield Playhouse with a blonde wig and...
Doing a cover of Jolene.
it's all done. It's going to happen, I promise you.
Carl, we're very excited about your show this Wednesday. We're linked up to tickets on our radio station website. And this band that you have that you're touring with, man, no slouches.
Yeah, no, they're probably, you know, two of the best musicians I've ever played with. We've got Simon Fitzpatrick on the six-string bass and also playing the Chapman stick, 10-stringed instrument, so we can trigger all of the keyboard sounds that we used to have in ELP from that. Wow. And a similar thing with the lead guitar, Paul Bielatowicz. We can trigger a lot of keyboard sounds along with guitar sounds. So it's quite a unique sound. And we're also singing more now than what we used to in the past. I was never in favor of having a big singing band. I wanted it more instrumental because ELP had a lot of instrumentals. But we've now amalgamated the two ideas. And, we've got vocals there as well. I even sing myself. So anyway, there's no refunds once you hear me singing. I'm not singing that right now. But it's all good stuff. I sing a track from the Brain Salad Surgery album. It's a track that Greg Lake would never sing on stage, actually. Oh, it's wow. All about a bouncer called Benny the Bouncer. Anyway, it's a funny song, and it's a bit like Ringo Starr singing Yellow Submarine, you know. It's that kind of deal. Anyway, I enjoy it, and it always goes down reasonably well. And we're happy, you know. It makes a lighthearted moment in the show. So that's what we need.
Well, Carl, you're in our Hall of Fame, and thank you for coming on, and have fun Wednesday night at Richfield Playhouse. We're linked up to tickets on the radio station website. Thank you, Carl.
You've made my day telling me I'm in your Hall of Fame, because that's what it's all about.
Thank you, Carl.
Thank you so much.
Carl Palmer, one of the greatest drummers in the world ever, founding member of Emerson, Lake & Palmer and Asia at the Richfield Playhouse this Wednesday.
This was the Jazz and AJ podcast. Thanks for getting through the whole damn thing. Subscribe now and please rate and review us. Unless you have terrible things to say, then please don't. Also, share this podcast with friends. Jazz and AJ in the Morning happens weekdays from 5:30 a.m. to 10 a.m. out of New Haven, Connecticut on the mighty 99.1 PLR.
Hey, wake up. New drinks just dropped at Wendy's. Cold foam, cold brew coffee, and sparkling energy. Both the caramel and the chocolate cold foam are just, so good. And the pineapple citrus and cherry limeade sparkling energy each have
80 to 120 milligrams
of added caffeine. So whether you need a treat first thing or to just stop yawning already, mornings hit different. To pick up a new pick-me-up, gotta be Wendy's. At participating U.S. Wendy's.